Going to be in Exodus chapter 4 today. I hope that you have your copy of God's Word that you can open with me as we look at several passages of Scripture today. We're going to continue in this series entitled Saved. I wonder if you've ever thought about the fact or asked yourself the question, why did God save me? It's interesting, sometimes I'll ask people that question and I'll say, why do you think God saved you? And some people, they don't really have an answer for that. They don't really know exactly why. They don't really know exactly why, in concern with the purpose maybe that God has for their life. I believe that every person that God saves, that in some way that He has a plan and that He has a purpose for our life. I believe that God has a plan for your life. Sometimes it may not seem that way. Sometimes you may struggle with that. But I believe that God doesn't save us without purpose. And one of the exciting things that happens in our spiritual life is whenever we discover what that purpose is. And it can be very exhilarating whenever we realize that what the Lord has for us and what He's told us to do, and specifically where we should go or when or how or what we should do with our life. And this is what we see in Exodus, is what we have seen so far with the children of Israel, with the ancient Hebrews. God revealed Himself. God told Moses to tell them exactly what His plan was for them. And they were excited about that. They were exhilarated about that. God showed the Hebrews that He told the Hebrews He was going to save them from bondage. He set all these events in motion to reveal His plan to deliver them. He gave them a vision for a new land where they were going to live and where they were going to prosper. And He called Moses to lead the charge. But what happens when things don't go the way that you thought that they were going to go? What happens whenever you discover God's will and you begin to walk the path of discipleship and you experience some difficulty? I see a pattern in Scripture. I see a pattern in the lives of believers. And I see a pattern in my own life when it comes to following God and doing His will. And it looks something like this. And we see this also with the Hebrews. There's this joyful acceptance that we have. We discover God's will and we know what He has for us. And it's this joyful acceptance. And then it's not long after that that we experience some type of hardened resistance. A hardened resistance to what the Lord wants for us. And what happens is that puts us, if we're not careful, that puts us into a mode of spiritual discouragement. And then when we walk in that discouragement for a while, when God sees us in that discouragement for a while, I believe I have a slide with these four patterns on there. We walk in that spiritual discouragement, and then afterwards, God encourages us and shows us that what we in fact know to be His plan is His plan. And wouldn't it be great if the two things in the middle never happened? Wouldn't it be great if every time the Lord revealed His will about your marriage and you decided that you were going to live as a disciple within your marriage, that nothing hard happened? Wouldn't it be great if you decided that you were going to overcome that sin in your life and the Lord revealed to you how He wanted you to overcome that sin? And it was never difficult. There was just a joyful acceptance. And then God's divine encouragement. Wouldn't it be great if every area of our discipleship, all areas of finances and work and jobs and relationships and everything that we can imagine, we walk in God's will, we see it, we joyfully accept it, and God encourages us, and there's never any hardship. Wouldn't it be great if that happened? Unfortunately, that's not the way that it works. I want to give you a difficult truth. It's a very difficult truth. It's a hard truth, one that we're going to look at today, and one that I really hope, I really pray that at the end of this message that it's encouraging to you. But hardship and resistance are part of God's plan for your life. I know you don't want to hear that. I know I don't want to hear that. I know it's difficult for us to hear that. But hardship and resistance and difficulty and struggle is part of what it takes for the Lord's purpose to be revealed in your life and part of what it takes for you to walk in godliness and do the will of the Lord. And so this pattern of joyful acceptance and hardened resistance, and then the spiritual discouragement and then divine encouragement, we're going to see this played out in the pattern of Moses and also in the ancient Hebrews itself. And again, we're going to cover a lot of scripture here today. So look at what the Bible says about how they joyfully accepted the Lord's will in Exodus chapter 4, verse 31. And the Bible says the people believed. Well, isn't that great? That's one of the things that Moses said that wasn't going to happen. When the Lord said, hey, I want you to go and tell the nation of Israel that I'm going to deliver them, he's like, Lord, they're not going to believe me. And so he gave Moses a speech to go and tell them, and he went and told them, and look what happened. The people believed. They believed Moses. God said, they're going to believe you, and they did. And when they heard all that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction because they had been crying out to God. And so whenever they realized the Lord's heard our affliction, the Lord has sent Moses to come and deliver us, God has a plan, we're going to go live in our own land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Look what the Bible says. They bowed their heads and worshiped. They celebrated. They praised the Lord. They joyfully accepted what God said that he was going to do. And more than likely, they couldn't wait to start their journey. They were excited about doing what the Lord had told them to do and walking in his ways. Everybody's happy until they hit some hardened resistance. And it's interesting, as soon as they began to execute God's plan, as soon as they made a decision that they were going to do what God told them to do, they met with some hardened resistance, and it came from a guy named Pharaoh. Look what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 5, verse 1 through 2. It says, afterwards, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Now, this is exactly what the Lord told Moses that he was supposed to say to Pharaoh. And so at this point, Moses is probably saying, okay, so far, so good. And so he tells Pharaoh what the Lord's will is, but look what Pharaoh says. Pharaoh said, who's the Lord? He says, I don't know the Lord. I will not let Israel go. Now, this is what the Lord had told Moses was going to happen. Pharaoh immediately and decisively said no. This wasn't a soft no. This wasn't a, I'm going to let you down easy no. This was a hard-hearted, vengeful, and what we're going to see in a moment, a hateful, I'm going to pay you back harshly for even asking me kind of no. Exodus 5, verse 6 through 9. The same day, immediately, right after they had that Moses had come and asked for the people of Israel to be let go, the same day, look what Pharaoh did. He didn't take time to plan. He didn't take time to think of it. He just immediately commanded the taskmasters of the people. These were Egyptians that were over the slave labor. And their foremen, these would have been the Israelites that were, or the Hebrew people that were over their own people to help carry out the work. He said, don't give them straw anymore to make their bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past, you shall impose on them and shall by no means reduce it, for they're idle. He says, therefore, they cry, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid on the men that they may labor at it and pay no regards to their lying words. Now the Hebrews were already crying out because of their affliction. And now because they were seeking to do what the Lord had commanded them to do, now because they had made a commitment to follow the Lord and carry out the Lord's will and follow the Lord's plan, because of that, it got worse for them. You see, we often think, well, I'm just going to start following the Lord and things are going to automatically get better for me. Things are going to get easier for me whenever I begin to follow God's plan. That's not what we see in a lot of places in Scripture, and that's certainly not what we see initially here. Things got harder for them. And I think Moses and the people, I think they were prepared for resistance, but they were not prepared for hardship. I think that they were prepared for Pharaoh to say no and for God to do some things in order to make that no a yes. But I don't think that they fully comprehended and realized that it was going to be hard on them, that they were going to face difficulty, that they were going to face a struggle and hardship and persecution. But resistance to following the Lord is just inevitable. It's just inevitable. I mean, there are just going to be more times than not whenever we make the decision that we are going to begin to follow the world, to not follow the world and go against the world. It's just going to be hard on us. Things are going to become more and more difficult. There are forces of resistance to following God's will. And we talk about this all the time, but the first thing is just our sinful nature, our flesh. As we begin to follow God's will, our flesh just wants to do something different. And then the pattern of this world naturally goes against the ways of God. And then not to mention, there are forces of evil in this dark world. There is Satan and all of his demons. They want to do everything they possibly can to keep you from following God's will. And when you think about that, your flesh doesn't naturally want to follow God's will. When you think about all the patterns of this world are all pushing back against you, you're going on a different road than everyone else. And then the fact that there are spiritual forces against you, sometimes it can feel like there is a tsunami of resistance that comes against you as soon as you make a decision that you're going to walk the road of discipleship and be the person that God wants you to be and follow in His plan. Perhaps this has happened to you. Perhaps you've said something like, you know, I'm going to be a better steward over my money because I know that God cares about my finances and Jesus talks about it a lot. And so I'm going to steward my finances better. And as soon as you do, you have a major financial catastrophe in your life. Or maybe you say, you know what? I'm going to be the husband that I'm called to be, or I'm going to be the wife that I'm called to be. And the Bible tells me in Ephesians chapter 5 exactly what I should say and who I should do and how I should be. And so I'm going to follow the Lord's will. And the very next day you get into a fight. It's interesting the way that that happens. As soon as we make those commitments to follow the Lord, things just get difficult. And listen, if you give up, you're never going to make it in Christianity. If you can't live with the resistance that constantly comes against you when you try to live against the grain of this sinful world, you're not going to make it in Christianity. You're not going to make it in following the Lord. And it's almost like the Apostle Paul said in the New Testament. He says, when I want to do good, evil is right there with me. And this is why we give up so many times, and this is why we are spiritually discouraged. This is what happens. This is what happened with the ancient Hebrews Exodus chapter 5, verse 20 through 21. As soon as these foremen came out from meeting with Pharaoh, as soon as they came out from meeting with him, Moses was waiting. It says they met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them as they came out from Pharaoh. They said to them, "The Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in his hand to kill us." Where was the worship and joy and excitement? Where was all the eagerness to follow God's plan? They hit one roadblock. They have one episode of resistance and difficulty and hardship, and now they're mad. You ever been mad at God? Have you ever been like, you know, Lord, I'm trying to do what you tell me to do, and why does this have to happen? That's what Moses asked. In Exodus 5:22 through verse 23, Moses was discouraged, and he asked that age-old question of why. He turned to the Lord and said, "Lord, why? Why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me?" In other words, Moses is saying, "I told you this was a bad plan. I told you this wouldn't work. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he's done evil to this people." In other words, Lord, what you've told me to do has brought about evil. And, Lord, you didn't do what you said you were going to do. You haven't delivered this people. You haven't delivered this people at all. Lord, why? Have you ever asked God why? Have you ever been spiritually discouraged? Have you ever taken a step of faith to follow the Lord as a disciple, to follow His plan in your life, only to have something bad happen, and then you get spiritually discouraged or angry, and then you question the Lord and say, why? Do you know that the Bible is filled with people like that? You're not alone. I mean, there are, I don't know, I talk to some super Christians out there sometimes that are like, "I never get mad at God. I never question what the Lord is doing. God is good. He's in control." I mean, I know some super Christians out there, and maybe they just have more faith than I do. But sometimes I ask why. I'm like, "Lord, I don't understand." I don't know that I ask why as much as I just, "Lord, I don't understand." And it's almost like I can sense the Lord talking back to me and saying, "I don't need you to understand in order to carry out my plans. I just need you to be faithful. I just need you to be submissive to my will," is what the Lord says to us. And I say this to my kids all the time when they say, "I don't understand." I'm like, "I don't need you to understand. I just need you to be understanding." And I think that's what the Lord requires of us, just to be faithful to Him, even whenever we don't understand, even whenever we don't know why. But here's why, and you're not going to like it. And I've already said it before. I don't like it either, but it is what it is. The difficult truth: hardship and resistance are part of God's plan for your life. And you say, "Wait a minute now, Pastor Scott, where do you get that? Where do you get that, that if from this passage that hardship and difficulty and resistance is part of God's plan for your life?" Think about this. Think about this guy, Pharaoh. What is the one reason that there was resistance to God's plan? The one reason that there was hardship to begin with? The one reason that there is more difficulty now in their life? The one reason why everything is so hard to try to do what God is wanting them to do, for them to leave Egypt and go to the promised land? The one reason is this person, this Pharaoh. The only reason there's resistance is because of him. He is the reason that God's people are in bondage, why they are discouraged, and why servant is asking why. And you know what the Lord told Moses and the people of Israel and even Pharaoh himself? The Lord said, "I will harden his heart." Go back to the previous slide right quick. The Lord says, "I will harden his heart." In Exodus 4, Exodus twice in Exodus 7, twice in Exodus 8, and one time in Exodus 19, the scripture says either Pharaoh hardened his heart, just as the Lord said, or in two of these verses and one other that I'm about to show you, God says, "I will harden his heart." Now that is striking. I mean, if it just said it once, if the Bible just said it once, the Lord will harden his heart, then maybe we might try to kind of explain it away and say, well, what the writer really meant was Pharaoh hardened his own heart, that God didn't have anything to do with it. The problem is, in three or four different times, the scriptures explicitly say that the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Look at God's explanation to Moses. Next slide, Exodus chapter 10. This is why. This is why there was resistance. The Lord said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, and here's why. That I may show these signs of mine." and that you may tell them in the hearing of your son and your grandson. Like those children on stage. What's one of the first things we're going to teach them in Sunday school when they're old enough? We're going to teach them stories in the Old Testament. We're going to teach them that we serve a God with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And what are the things that we're going to teach them about how God delivered his people from Egypt. We're going to tell them about the 10 plagues. We're going to tell them about the parting of the Red Sea. We're going to tell them about all those things because Pharaoh's heart was hard. And listen, none of those things would have happened unless there would have been a hard-hearted Pharaoh. And then he says to them, he says, here's the why, that you may know that I am the Lord. And then the Lord even gives a similar explanation to Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. He says, but for this purpose, I have raised you up to show my power, that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. Now remember that difficult truth. Hardship and resistance are part of God's plan for your life. Think of it like this. Pharaoh's hard-hearted resistance was part of God's plan of deliverance for the people of Israel. I mean, consider that. There would have been no miraculous signs, no mighty power. There would not have been 10 plagues. There would not be a Passover if it wasn't for the hardness of Pharaoh's heart. And even after he let them go, God hardened his heart again. Exodus chapter 14, verse 8. Says, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out. In other words, they had already left. And Pharaoh said, I can't believe I did that. Let's go after them. And the Bible says the Lord hardened his heart so that he would do so. And then what happened as a result of that? God parted the Red Sea and the Hebrew people walked across on dry land. Now think about these things. If the hard-hearted opposition wouldn't have been there, there would have been no proclamation of God's might and power. There would have really been no reason to worship God. And the only thing that they would have done was made boats. And you and I wouldn't even be talking about it today. I suppose we all have a Pharaoh. Paul had a thorn. Elijah had a Jezebel. Jesus had a betrayer. Jesus had religious opponents. Jesus had a cross. Why was the resurrection of Jesus so glorious? Because he died. He died, and then he was raised. And isn't that what we celebrate whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper together? We celebrate something horrible, something terrible, something evil, something unjust that happened that led to our redemption. We celebrate the cross. We celebrate the death and the burial of Christ. We celebrate his broken body. We celebrate his spilled blood that was done for us. You see, when we have this perspective about bad things, then we realize what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, a passage of scripture that we quote all the time. It says, all things work together for the good, for those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. And I love this scripture in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 37. It's not on the screen. It says, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And God's response to all this is to encourage his people. and all of their not understanding and all of their why, the Lord didn't get impatient with them and say, y'all are just stupid. You don't understand how smart I am. I've got a plan. Just wait. No, the Lord didn't act that way towards his people. The Lord wasn't impatient, at least not at this point. He was impatient towards their rebellion later. But at this point, as they were experiencing this discouragement, they were excited, they were worshiping, and then they hit the hardened resistance, and now they were discouraged. And God told them why, even though it's hard for that to sink in. It's hard for us to understand that why, that my power may be proclaimed, that my will may be seen, that you may tell your children. See, that doesn't comfort us per se whenever we think about that why, but I hope that this part does. God says in Exodus chapter 6, it's like right after this happened, God spoke to Moses and said, I'm the Lord. And then in verse 6, he says it again. He said, say therefore to the people of Israel, I'm the Lord. And then in verse 7, he says, I'm going to do what I've told you I'm going to do. You're going to be my people. I will be your God. You're going to know that I'm the Lord. And in verse 8, he says it again. He says, I'm going to bring you into that land. I'm going to give you a possession. I am the Lord. And that's what God would say to us whenever we experience that discouragement and whenever we don't understand some things that are in his plan. Now listen to me very carefully. I'm not saying that God does evil. I'm not saying that God does horrible, evil things. Evil never originates from God. And we don't understand all the complexities of how God makes his plans. He is so much smarter than us. He has so much more foresight than us. He has so much more power than we do. And we don't understand how it all works together. But Pharaoh was held responsible and was to blame for the hardness of his heart. But somehow it was in God's plan for his heart to be hardened so that God could show his power and so that we all could celebrate together that God is the Lord. And that's really all he wants us to acknowledge. He wants us to acknowledge that he is the Lord. There is not one place in the Bible where God promised that following him would be easy. Not one place. And if I was to present that to you here today, if I was to tell you that you're going to be healthy and wealthy and prosperous and everything's going to turn out okay for you on this earth, all you have to do is just accept Jesus, I believe that that would be telling you a lie. I believe that we have to be ready for the rigors of discipleship. The Bible says that we have to count the cost. Jesus said that no king goes to war unless he first counts the cost and realizes what it's going to take in order to accomplish it. No one builds a building also without first counting the cost. Jesus said it's going to be like taking up a cross. Jesus said that in this world you will have trouble. You will have resistance. Those things are bound to come. Jesus also promised that he would be with us. Nowhere in Scripture does the Bible say that following Jesus is going to be easy, but everywhere in Scripture, God has said that he will be with us. That means when we're going through that divorce, God said that he'll be with us. That means whenever our finances are horrible, God says, I'm going to be with you. Even if you don't know when your next meal is, where it's going to come from. Even whenever you're facing persecution and hardship, when you try to read the Bible and you don't understand it, when your marriage is falling apart, when you're struggling with addictions, whenever sin is all over you, God has said that he is going to be with you. But we have to do what the Hebrews did. We have to call upon his name. We have to call upon the name of the Lord. And at the same time, realize that the hardships that you face on the narrow road of following God's plan are the very things that God uses to show you his power, to sanctify you fully, and to display his glory to everyone around you. I wonder today if you would just want to acknowledge the Lordship of Christ. Let's bow our heads and let's close.